Matthew chapter 8. Praise God. I want to continue. The Lord just laid this on my heart, and it was primarily concerning the message I want to bring you this morning. That's what initiated it, and it so just affected and impacted my heart, this one thought, that this short series, A Man Under Authority, last week we dealt with Joseph, a man with a donkey. He never preached a sermon in his life. He never wrote a letter. He never performed a miracle. But that man leading a donkey was a man under authority. He was a man with authority. Authority to do the will of God. Authority to save the life of that young child. The authority to preserve the life of his wife. All because he was a man under authority. I believe such men or women who abide under the authority of Christ often get ignored, they often get missed, and they often get forgotten. I do have a third message I want to preach on this next Sunday morning. Last week, Joseph. This week, the centurion. And next week, I want to deal with the third man. All three of these men are obscure men. They weren't preachers. They weren't great leaders. They weren't miracle workers. But these three men, I believe, carry a message that we are to be people under authority. My message this morning, a man under authority. A man under authority. Reading from Matthew chapter 8 and verse 5. Reading from verse 5. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. Then the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou wouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth. And to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled. And he said unto them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in all of Israel. And I say unto you, that many shall come from the east and the west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, but the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. Let's pray together. Father, we simply this morning, on the first day of this year, on the very first Sunday of this year, we bow the knee even before you at your footstool, recognizing that you're the God of creation, you're the God of the incarnation, that you're the God of redemption, of salvation, of the new birth. And my God, we magnify your name. You're the author and the finisher of our faith. You were there before time, and you'll be there after time is concluded. You were there before creation, and you'll be there after this old earth of ours is rolled up and put away. We do love you. We worship you. We bow the knee. And my God, I pray, I want to be a man under authority. And even here this morning, I want to submit myself to the will of God, the word of God, the ways of God, the order of God, the authority of God. My God, I want to recognize the very powers and the authorities that you put in place. Nor God, I want a right attitude towards the government, nor God, towards family order. My God, towards the order of this church and the order of life. We do bless you, and we submit ourselves. We only have one head, and his name is Jesus Christ. We love you this morning. Praise. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
A man under authority. Last week we dealt with one who done no miracle and preached no sermon. Again, I want to deal with another man who wasn't a preacher. He wasn't a minister of the gospel. And he didn't work any miracle. He wasn't even a Jew. He came from a pagan background. He was an idolater by birth. He was a Gentile. He was one that didn't have the blessing of growing up in a Christian home. He didn't have a mother who knew the God of the Bible. His parents were probably idolaters. His parents placed statues in the home. His whole culture, his upbringing, his education was marked by paganism and by imperialism. He was born into a system that dominated nations, that ruled over kings, that subdued powers and principalities, that forced its authority on every nation, every language, and every culture. Here we have a man in the land of Israel, but he is an occupant force. He is a soldier, a Roman soldier. No more than that. He was a centurion. He was a man placed over 100 men. I want to bring this message to you here this morning on the first day of this year, and I believe it is vital that we understand authority, submission, and the order of God. This centurion was a man under authority, and that's my message here this morning. Do you know, I've read this passage hundreds of times. I've heard it preached on hundreds of times. I've talked about it with others, or we've shared about these scriptures hundreds of times. And yet, the actual primary, most important thing in this passage, all through my Christian life, from I was a young boy until last year, I had missed the most critical point of this. It took my brother Paul to actually share it with me. And as he said it, I went, man, I'd never heard it. What he told me is written there in the Bible. I had read it. I had talked about it. I had prayed it. I had read it out in gatherings. And yet I'd never understood what was actually written there. I missed the whole point of this passage. So I encourage you this morning. You can hear a thing 1,000 times. You can think you understand a thing. You can think that you live out a thing, and yet you can have radically missed it in the simplicity of it. My first point in this message is the very first thing noted here that my brother pointed out to me. Just notice what the scripture says in verse 9. Notice what the centurion says here. He doesn't say, I am a man in authority. He doesn't say that. He doesn't say, I am a man with great power. That isn't the first thing he says. He doesn't say, I have got power to command men what to do. He didn't say that. Look at the actual text, verse 9. The first thing I want you to notice here is he is a man under authority. And friends, that's what I've missed all these years. I never heard him say it. I always in my mind thought he was saying, I'm a man in authority. But that isn't what he said. He explains that later, and he goes on to say that he is a man with authority. But notice this first. He says, I am a man under authority. You know, there's some people in the church that say, I'm not under anyone. I'm not under anything. I don't need to submit to anyone. I don't need anybody else. I don't need to listen to anybody else. I don't need anybody else's help. I can live my Christian life as I am. I have everything within me. I want to assure you, that man does not understand authority. He does not understand the order of God. Neither does he understand the kingdom of God. The very foundational, fundamental thing of the kingdom of God and the church is, I am a man under authority. Before you have authority, you must be a man under authority. Before God uses you with authority against the enemy, you are going to learn what it means to first submit yourself unto God. Look at this man. Who he is. He is a man with power and authority. Yet his own testimony, the first thing he says is, I am a man submitted. I am a man under authority. I am a man who recognizes authority. And in my experience, in my past, all through my days, I have learned to submit myself to authority. I did it when I was a young boy in the home. I did it in the school. I did it towards the government. I did it as a soldier. Here he is, a military man, seasoned. He is a strong man. He is a man with much experience, much training, much knowledge, much power, and much influence. But his own testimony about his own life, and notice this, to Jesus. He is speaking to Jesus. He says, I am a man under authority. Do you know, he wasn't just saying, I'm a man under authority to God. Or, Jesus, I submit to your authority. He wasn't saying that. He was saying, in every area of my life, I am a man under authority. Saints, I asked you, do you understand what it means to be under authority in the home? Under authority in the church? Under authority in society and to government? I can assure you, I don't think much of the Irish government or any other government for that matter in our generation. But I want to tell you something. Obama, I've got little time for him. I've got little respect for him. But I assure you, that position of the presidency of the American nation, I still respect that position. That man may be wicked. He may have tried to destroy America in 8 years, but I acknowledge him that God placed him there. I still respect that position. And it's the same for the Irish government. I may not like what they do. I may not like their character. I may not like much about them, but I assure you, I do believe in submission to the powers and the authorities that God has put in place. It is honoring a system of government, not men, not some Irish system of government, but that God puts leaders over nations. And that's what this centurion had learned. He learned it in every area of life, that an army cannot function, a kingdom cannot function, an empire cannot advance unless there's submission. Unless you have men and women who submit, there'll never be a victory. There'll never be a winning of a warfare. The enemy can never be defeated. If everybody does their own thing in their own way, then you'll never have that victorious testimony. You see, submission is something you can know and you can see. You can perceive if someone is submitted or not. You can see it in their attitude, their words, their actions, their mentality, their convictions, how they function in their life. You are going to see, are they a man or a woman under authority? This same story is given in Luke chapter 7. Here in Matthew, it is a shortened version. In Luke chapter 7, it is a longer and fuller, more detailed story about this centurion. And in Luke 7 verse 8, it says, listen to what the centurion says. He says, for I also am a man set under authority. Now notice that he says, I also. Who's he speaking to? Jesus Christ. He is speaking to Christ and he says, I also am a man set under authority. That little word also is an important thing. You know what he's doing? He's saying, Christ, I recognize that you are a man under authority. When I look at the life of Christ, when I hear the preaching of Christ, when I see the deeds of Christ, what I see is a man under the authority of God the Father. I actually see one who didn't do anything or say anything apart from what he's seen and heard the Father do. In other words, Jesus Christ didn't do his own will. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, not my will, but your will be done. Did Jesus Christ have a will? Yes. Do you think he wanted to suffer on a cross? Do you think he wanted his back plowed? Do you think he wanted to be rejected by Israel as a nation? Do you think he wanted his mother to watch his suffering? Do you think he wanted to go through the darkness of all hell be letting loose on him? Do you think that he wanted to be ridiculed and laughed and mocked at? No. But you know what? Jesus Christ was a man under authority. And everything he did was under the authority of the scriptures. It was under the authority of God. And that's what the centurion is saying. When he found Christ, in his Christ, he's seen a man under authority. If you don't see Christ as a man under authority, you will never submit. You see, there's many Christians, there's no submission in them. There is no bar in the knee. There isn't a submission to other believers. It's not there. And you know what? They don't see that's in Christ. Christ was so humble. The God of creation, the eternal ones whose hands created the planets of the universe. And yet those same hands were stretched out at Calvary to die and suffer. He was taken by the hands of wicked men and nailed to a cruel cross for you. Just look at it, saints. A man who willingly submitted himself. And saints, you need a revelation that this man was a man under authority. I believe this affected the centurion as he looked at the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior, the Healer, the Deliverer, the one promised of God. He said, I see a man absolutely under authority. He only preaches what the Father gives him to preach. He only goes where the Father wants him to go. He is a man literally led by God, who says, not my will, not my ambition, not my plans. I lay these aside, and I want to be a man under authority. But notice as well in Luke 7 and 8, he says, for I also am a man set under authority. That word set means to arrange in an orderly manner. It means for someone to appoint you to a place. It means that somebody else has given you a position or given you authority. Notice that a man under authority, he doesn't grab position. He doesn't grab power. He doesn't manipulate situations to get an advance or to gain a position. A man under authority, he says, if you give me a position of authority, I have it. If you don't, that's just fine with me. But I'm submitted. You can either use me or not use me. You can either call me to preach or not call me to preach. You can either use me in some unusual way, or you can just make me to walk with you by faith. You see, to be set in place under authority. This Roman centurion was saying, I was put here. I didn't buy my position. I didn't manipulate my way into it. I didn't use words, or I didn't try to lick up to people trying to gain that. I simply did my duty. I was faithful in my position. I done what I was told. And the end result is I was given a position. I was actually given authority. The second point here I want you to notice is he's not only a man under authority. He is a man in authority. Many years ago, I was in a meeting in Scotland, and there was an old preacher up in his 90s called Arthur Burt, very unusual man. And he, at a time, carried the bags of Smith Wigglesworth. And in that meeting, he stood up, first time I ever heard him preach, he stood up and he read this passage, and this is what he said: you can't get your overs until you get your unders. And he stood there quiet, and everyone looked at each other. No amens. Just looked and went, what's the old man talking about? And he says, listen to me. You can't get your overs until you get your unders. I thought, dearie me, the old man shouldn't be in the pulpit. His mind's wandering a bit. And he just stood there gazing at us again. And we looked at each other. And he went again. He said, you can't get your unders, or you can't get your overs until you get your unders. And then he began to preach on the centurion. You cannot be an authority until you submit to authority. And he preached a sermon on it. I can't remember what else he said, but those opening lines, I'll never forget the entirety of my life. He marked me with that thought that don't be thinking about getting authority if you're not willing to submit to authority. Only men who are submitted to God will be given authority by God. If you don't submit to God, don't expect to get any authority. Notice this man, he was a centurion. He did have power. He did have authority. He did have influence. He carried the full weight of Rome. Do you realize when he walked into Caesarea, he didn't come in the name of the centurion. He didn't come with his own authority. He said, I'm here with the authority of the emperor of Rome. Yeah. The Caesar over the entire empire. I'm here in his name, with his authority, with his power behind me. I know I'm only a centurion over 100 men, but I assure you, I carry the highest authority in the entire empire. Do you realize when you submit to Christ, you carry the authority of heaven? Yeah. Do you realize when you bow the knee to him, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost is there with you? If you submit yourself, if you obey God's word, if you yield and give ground and submit yourself, you actually gain the authority of heaven itself. You don't stand in your own authority. You can never separate these two links of the chain. Submission and authority are linked together. If you don't submit, you break your ability to have authority. You'll never have authority. You'll never enjoy the blessing of authority. God will not back up your authority if you do not respect others in authority. Show me a rebel. I'm not going to submit. I don't need to listen to them. I don't need to obey them. I'll show you a man who'll never be trusted by God with authority. They are joined together. Now, just look what it means to be an authority. Some people think it means calling the shots, or having the highest position, or being able to vocalize your opinions. But that is not the primary thing of authority. I want to show you that authority is marked with a sense of responsibility. And as I came to this point, I'm going over my notes this morning. I'm up early, Candace is still in bed. And I go and let doggy Shiloh, my puppy, our puppy. First thing I get there and I go, man, will I just get my cup of tea and go and study and pray and get ready? And I thought, no, I've got to let her out. So I went, took her out. She'd done a pee, came back in. I shut the door and she's whining, looking at my face. And I go, no, mommy is going to feed you. No, she's there wanting her food. She's there wanting to eat. She didn't have a good tummy yesterday, didn't eat much. And I'm there, I close the door, turn the light out, and I go upstairs to study. And I sit down and I'm going through my notes, and I begin to deal with this point of being in authority. It's to have a sense of responsibility. And as I read my point, I come under conviction. I could hear the whimpering of that little doggy in the kitchen. I told myself, let Candace do it. She can feed her. She can take her out for a poo a bit later. She can look after all that. But I've got a responsibility. I've got to preach to you this morning. I need my time with the Lord. But as that whining ascended to my ears, I went, to be an authority means you've got responsibility. Yeah. And I've got authority over that dog. I bought that dog. I purchased it. I made it mine. It must do and go where I tell it to go. But saints, with that, I have a sense of responsibility. I couldn't bear. I had to go down the stairs. I apologize. Sorry, doggy, for leaving you, but I'm here. I made it its breakfast, set it down for it, played with it for a time, and then Candace come through and I said, you're on duty now. It's your responsibility. But now I can go preach with a clear conscience. My heart is lifted. I've apologized to the doggy. I've fulfilled my responsibility. Saints, having authority over that dog means taking it for a poo, feeding it when it needs fed, sacrificing some time, caring for it and loving it. And that's a dog. That's a little puppy. I couldn't shut the door and say it's of no consequence. I assure you, read about Balaam's donkey. It spoke, it had thoughts. That dog has thoughts. And I'm going to have a clear conscience with that dog anyway. I hope you're understanding my second point. Yeah. This man is a man in authority. But what does that mean? Look at him. He has a servant at home. He actually has a servant in his house that obeys everything he does. He says, wash that. Go do this. Go get that. He's a man in authority. But saints, that isn't only it. Look at him. His servant is actually sick. His servant was sick of the palsy. It means he's got paralysis. Something had happened to his servant. His servant was grievously tormented and was actually sick unto death. He is at death's door. He has paralysis in his physical body. And we read here, this Roman centurion didn't just go and buy another slave. He didn't just say, your life is of no consequence. The Bible said that he actually cared. Look at this man in authority. He cares about his servant. He has a sense of responsibility. His heart is actually heavy. He is worried about his servant. And this position of authority makes him to care for those under it. Saints, I care about you in this church. I care about my wife. I've got a position of authority in that home. She is meant to submit to me. I do have the position of being the head in my home. I am the head. I am the authority. I am the government. But I want to assure you, that position of authority makes me love her and care for her. This week, these past days, I'm going, are you okay? Are you okay? Are you managing okay? Do you feel okay? It is a heart of concern. Do you know what that is? That's authority. Don't you ever grab authority without thinking you're going to carry a grave burden. It is a very heavy thing to be a leader in a church. You don't need to carry the burdens I carry. I tell you, I'm awake in the middle of the night because I care about yous. I'm worried about yous. I'm worried about every life that's out there that's ever come in this door. I can't sleep at night. What is that? That's authority. That's a position. That is being given a position, but it actually carries a terrible weight. Paul the Apostle in 2 Corinthians 11:28, he says, listing his trials, whippings, shipwreck, false brethren, and then listen to what he says. The care of all the churches. Look at it. It's amidst his trials. The care, the burden, the problems, the distractions, the heartaches, the issues that go on in the church. He says, all the care of the churches. It's one of my trials. I've got to carry this. Why did Paul have to carry it? Because he had authority as an apostle. God gave him great authority. Therefore, there was great responsibility. Not everyone had that same responsibility. You see, if you're ever given authority, make sure that you have the ability to make decisions. Yeah. I can't just be a preacher in the pulpit without authority to deal with issues in the church. I can't come and tickle your ears and preach truth without the power or the ability to do something in this church. They are joined actually together. Notice this man, he did have a care for his servant. Also, we read that the Jews, the local Jews, they say he built a synagogue in Capernaum. And the local people actually said he loves our nation. Now look at the testimony of that community. They say he cares. He's not just a military man. He's not just a man here in society with power. He actually built a synagogue. He cares about them. Notice here that this man with authority, he actually has authority. He was known for his love. He actually loved people. He cared about people. To have authority but no love is a terrible thing. You end up with tyranny. You end up with abuse. You end up with a selfish system of authority. But notice as well, what does authority really mean? He says, Jesus, speak the word only and my servant shall be healed. Just speak the word. He says, for I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. So what does that mean? What does it mean to be under authority or to have authority? Listen to what he says. I say to this man, go, and he goeth. And to another man, come, and he cometh. And to my servant in my own house, do this, and he doeth it. Now I'm talking about authority. I'm talking about submission to authority. In Luke chapter 7, he says, he sent unto the elders the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. Jesus sent the local Jewish elders to Jesus. So notice this man with authority. He commands. He gives orders. He gives charges. He gives commissions. He gives tasks. He is sending people. What is authority? What is submission to authority? It is obedience. If where you don't get obedience, you've got no submission. Yeah. If you don't obey God, you are not submitted to God. If you don't obey the teaching of the Bible, you're not submitted to the authority of God's word. What does it mean to submit ourselves to the word of God? It means I believe it's God's word, his thought. When you find a Christian who says, I don't believe that. I don't have to do that. It doesn't apply to me. Or let me think about it. You do have a problem. Do you know in the army, they say, yes, sir, I'll do that. There's no questioning. Well, sergeant, come back in the morning and I'll let you know. You won't say that to any sergeant, I can assure you. If you ever say that to a sergeant, it'll be the last time you ever say it. You'll either be in Civvy Street or you will be in prison, one or the other. But you aren't going to say that to any sergeant. You see, to truly submit to God means you obey God. You don't question God. You don't debate with him. You don't consider the orders. You say, yes, sir, I will do the will of God. Look how many people are in the church. I know that. You don't need to tell me anything. Nobody is going to tell me what to do. I serve God. I do not follow man. I don't need advice. I don't need your opinion. I actually will do. I love God. I serve God. I preach. I'm going to go do his will. And it's utterly outside the church. It's not connected to anybody else. And I assure you, that person has created their own authority. Notice someone who rejects authority in the home. Look at a wife who rejects the authority of her husband. I'm not submitting to him. I don't have to submit to him. I don't believe a wife should submit. I'm a feminist. I can serve God. I'm equal with a man. I don't believe in it. But notice that lady, soon she creates her own form of authority. She rejects God's order. She creates her own. Then she gets in a problem and blames the man. And vice versa. Do you know that wife? Just let it come to her telling her kids what to do. Hey, do this. Why should I? Yeah. Don't you speak to me like that. Hold on. What was your attitude? Yeah. If you don't submit to your husband, why would your child submit to you? Yeah. Why would they? If you as a husband or a father don't submit to authority in the church, why would your wife submit to you at home? Why? Well, do you honestly think that is going to happen? There's a knock-on process in this. I've seen it all through the years where people ridicule the church, criticize, complain. They go home, they roast the pastor for Sunday lunch. They roast him over a hot fire until he's well and truly roasted, ready for eating. And in that state, the kids are at the table. And I'm telling you what I've seen for 40 years. They then criticize, complain, moan about every problem. I don't like this, I don't like that at church. That kid gets to 14, 15, 16, I'm not going to church. Yes, you are. Wonder why the kid doesn't want to go to church. You've destroyed the kid. If you don't have that order, it is going to catch up on you, and you'll find that it will come with a vengeance. If you don't submit to God-given authority, it's going to come back and sting you in a very militant way. You see, true authority works by commands and obedience. If you're in authority, there is a time to give commands. I don't believe in abusive authority. I'll never tell you to paint your walls green at home in your house. That isn't my authority. And if ever I start saying that, you say, Keith, You don't have authority in my house. And you'd be absolutely right. But if I'm here and I say, let's praise the Lord, and you're sitting there going, I'm not going to do it. I don't have to do it. I tell you, that reveals your heart.
Amen.
Saints, I'm not asking you to do something stupid. I'm exhorting you. I'm encouraging you. And if you simply honor that, simply yield. We all have to yield. I yield.
Yeah.
I yield to all of you. I'm submitted to all of you.
Amen.
But I tell you what, it's hard to find people come into this church who'll submit to me.
Yeah.
They go, I don't need to, I don't have to, I don't need to listen to you. You're better if I preach the word of God. If I'm telling you the wisdom of God, you're going to get a serious problem. The third point here, this natural military principle applied to the kingdom of God. What we see in the military, the Roman army, the Irish army, the British army, armies all across the world, the Israeli army. There are principles in the military, in the army, in that secular military society that actually are exactly parallel with the church. You see, the church is a military government. We're nothing else. We are an army. We are the army of God. Jesus is called the captain of our salvation. We are called good soldiers of Jesus Christ. The church is not a democracy. We have order. We have rank. We're meant to march in step together. We're meant to go in the same direction. We're meant to have a unity of heart. You may be an engineer. I may be an explosives expert. You may be a paratrooper. I may be an infantryman or an artilleryman. But I assure you, we've all got to work together if the war is going to be accomplished. There's got to be one beat, one drum beat, one step in order to bring us into this military. We are not a democracy. We don't vote. We don't vote leaders in and out. We don't take votes on what we're going to do next. We seek for the will of God. We don't have a discussion and say, what do you think about this verse? I'm a preacher of the word of God. We're not sitting round in a circle. What does your version say? What does your good news version or your new apostate version that's missing all the verses? What do you think? What do your Bible notes say? And they sit in circles and they're more confused by the end of it than they were at the beginning. Everybody's Bible says something different. Their Bible notes say something different. And they're saying, well, actually, my Bible says this. God help us. Do you know what's been lost is authority.
Yeah.
A preacher is a man who preaches the word of God with authority. Saints, I don't apologize for the word of God. I don't change the word of God. I have submitted myself to this word. I believe this word. I preach what I have learned in the word of God. I'm submitted. You see, in the church, there is an order. There's a chain of command. There is a warfare. You can go and fight your own battle against the enemy. Well, I'll just wander off in the battlefield. I can fight the enemy. Not alone, you can't. If you come across the enemy, he will devour you. You want to play games like that, unless you're sent as a sniper behind enemy lines, then you can function. But I assure you, if you think, I don't need anybody else, I don't need to be in the prayer meeting, I don't need to be a Bible study, I don't need to be a part of this system, nobody can tell me what to do, you're in a dangerous position. Learn how to submit to authority. Since many years ago, when I was in the army, 5 years, we're in our basic training. And I'm in that camp, and the officers block. An officer, you've always got to salute them. And I tell you, some of those officers were rogues. I didn't like them. They annoyed me. I couldn't tolerate them. The worst thing for me to do was to salute that man. I knew what he was like. How can I submit myself? So what I done, rather than walk past their mess where they all walked, I walked all the way around the camp. I walked twice as far, 2 miles instead of 1 mile, just so I wouldn't need to salute those officers. I tell you, I couldn't bear the thought of having to acknowledge their authority. That was in me. I was 16 years old. Then this corporal come along and he says, do you know, Keith, don't you realize what you're doing? He says, what? He says, when you salute that officer, you're not saluting the person. It's not them you're saluting. You're saluting the Queen. You're acknowledging their rank, their position, the order that is established in the army. And every time you salute them, do you know what that set me free? I'm talking about a soldier. I'm out drinking at the time, getting drunk, but I'm in the army. And that changed my thinking. You know what? The next time I seen that officer coming, I picked myself up, got ready to march past him, saluted him with a smile. He thought, man, this young man is doing well, isn't he? Do you know what? I'm not saluting you, sir. I'm saluting Her Majesty. And I want to assure you, when we give respect and honor to church leaders or to any other dimension, the government, or to the head of a home, because you can't separate these things.
That's right.
Wherever I give that, do you know what? I'm not acknowledging you.
Yeah.
You're not acknowledging me. You're acknowledging Jesus Christ.
Amen.
If you acknowledge the authority that's placed here in this pulpit, in this man, to lead this church, do you know what? It's not me you're honoring. If I'm obeying Scripture, you're honoring King Jesus. Let me point something out to you. We have this story in Matthew 8 and in Luke 7. In Matthew 8, it looks like the centurion goes directly to Jesus. But in Luke chapter 7, we see that the centurion sent others to Jesus. He done it through others. He never met Jesus personally. Now, why is it in one chapter it is the centurion who goes personally? It gives the impression he went to Jesus. In the other chapter, it seems he went through others. Why do we have that? It's because when you submit to authority, it's that person. The centurion sent them, he went. And you realize when you submit to Jesus Christ and you do his will, it is Christ going. If you go preach, Christ is going. That is God at work in the church. If I'm here preaching, I assure you, if I'm submitted to him, if I'm obeying him, yielding to him, Christ is in this house preaching. I believe that with all my heart. I'm here as a servant. I'm here representing Jesus Christ. I'm telling you what his word says. I can assure you, Christ is here in this place and he does speak with authority. He says, yes, son, that's what I said. Yes, son, I was a submitted man 2,000 years ago. Yes, son, keep preaching the word of God. There is an authority, saints. And that's why I've got a boldness in my preaching and what I believe. Why is it? I know the authority. The book is the authority. The word of God is the authority. And I'm not in any doubts about it. I know what I believe. I know what it teaches. I know what you ought to do. And I know what I ought to do. That brings an authority. Let me take you to the fourth point. Submission reveals humility.
Yes.
And humility is a mark of true, genuine authority.
Yes.
Now look at this man. He is a man in authority. He has authority, but he's also submitted. That shows you immediately. A man who has authority but doesn't submit, there's something wrong.
Yes.
A man who claims to have authority from God, but he doesn't yield where he's meant to yield. Can I say something? Anyone who comes in that door, I don't care if they're saved 100 years.
Yeah.
I don't care if they've raised up 100 churches or they're called apostle. If they walk in that door and don't recognize the authority God has given me here, their authority is nothing.
Right.
Do you hear me? They actually reveal their heart. I'll tell you, a man of God, I'll tell you, a woman of God, every time they walk in that door, they're going to recognize there's an authority here. And as soon as I see them submitting themselves and acknowledging the authority in this church, I know we've got a good one here. I know we've got someone who God can give authority to. But since there's been a lot of rebels through this door, I don't need to do this. I think you should do this. You ought to do that. You know what their problem is? A lack of humility. Pride stops you from submitting. It stops a wife submitting to the husband. Children submitting to their parents. Church members submitting to elders. Or all of us submitting to our government, the laws of the land, the taxes, etc. Notice this man was a humble man. The centurion spoke in verse 8 and he says, Lord, I am not worthy that thou should come under my roof. I'm not worthy. Look at this man. He's a centurion. He's a leader. And he's got a sick man. If you speak the word, my servant's going to be healed immediately. But do you know what? I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof. It also says in Luke, he says, I'm not even worthy that I could come unto you. That's why I sent someone else. Oh, I wasn't ordering people around. I wasn't telling them to go for me because I was lazy. Actually, it was out of a humility of heart where I said, I'm not even worthy to approach the Messiah. I'm not worthy to go myself. That's why I asked the Jewish elders to come. Look at this man. Don't come under my roof. And I don't want to go to you. I'm just asking, will you heal my servant? And if you speak one word, he is going to be healed. You know why? Because I understand authority.
Yes.
Look at the humility of this man. True authority is marked. God-given authority is marked by humility. Show me a husband who has true authority in his home. There is love and care there, but there's also humility. What is humility? You consider others. You don't force your authority. A man who needs to force his authority has no authority. Same with a pastor or anyone else. If you have to enforce your rule, if people aren't willing to follow you, then you don't have authority. You better either get in your face and fast and pray or give up on it. But I assure you, authority should be yielded to willingly. It can never be forced or demanded. Someone needs to choose to submit themselves to it. You know what Jesus said in Luke 17? He says, so likewise ye, when ye have done all of these things, all the commandments that I command you, this is what you're to say. After you've done everything, we are unprofitable servants. Notice what the centurion said here. He says, I'm not worthy. He's a good man. He's built a synagogue.